Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That's why he's also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Father, help us today. There's a disease in our generation where we do not value what is valuable and we cherish trinkets. We really need the help of the Holy Spirit to sort that out so we get to walking in a different direction toward the things that are really valuable and away from those things that destroy. Start with us. Start here. Start now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Good friend of mine, a good friend of our family when I was little, Chuck Smouse took my brother and I fishing to the river one day. When we got to his house, we had breakfast and saw his lunch that he was taking along. It was the most impressive-looking lunch I had ever seen in my life. And either my brother or I made mention of it, "What are you going to do with all that food?" Well, he taught us one of the most important lessons about fishing that we've ever learned. A man gets really hungry when he goes fishing. We got out by the river. By 9 o'clock, we had busted into that bank. By 12 o'clock, the bag was empty. By 2 o'clock, we had to leave because we had to find more food. We were absolutely starving. I found that same principle applies to hunting as well. There's just something about being in the great outdoors that gives you a great appetite. It just magnifies it. Barb and I were watching a movie not too long ago on Hallmark where these two folk were out hiking, and the woman got hungry. And her hero pulled out of his pocket some berries that he had picked along the way and put in his handkerchief for her. I don't know about you, but berries never filled me up. Berries are meant to be a topping on a waffle or on a pancake, on something that has substance, or stuff it into a pie. But berries to survive on? There's just something about being out in the open that makes us hungry. Well, Esau had been hunting for quite a while, and boy, by the time he got back close to home, he was starving. He goes past and his brother is making some stew. Oh, that stew smelled good. Have you noticed the difference between when you're hungry and when you're not, as the effect of the aroma of food on your system? Stuff that you wouldn't normally eat all of a sudden smells delicious. And he was, just ravenous over this stew. So Jacob plopped himself down Esau plopped himself down by his brother, and he said, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." Now, the great probability is, had he just waited another 20 minutes, the whole family would have eaten that stew, and it wouldn't have cost him a thin dime. Short of that, they were a wealthy family, and they had many servants. He could have said to any one of them, "Hey, I need some bread or something to eat here. I'm starving over here." But nah, this smelled delicious. This is what Esau wanted more than anything else in the world to eat. We need to be careful when we're hungry. Have they ever told you about shopping on an empty stomach? Make a list. Eat something before you go to the store, or you spend about twice as much. Well, we need to be careful when we're hungry, when we really, 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 really want something. It's then that we're most susceptible to making decisions that will cost us dearly later on. I really want that car, that house, that computer, that phone, that girl, that guy, that donut. Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." He saw an opportunity here. What he's asking is so outrageous, it's ridiculous. Esau should have thumped him with a rock or something. The two simply don't compare. In that day and age, the oldest child received a double portion of the inheritance. So Esau was going to get twice as much of the property as Jacob. Because their dad and mom were very wealthy, we're talking a substantial amount of money. In today's terms, at least a couple hundred thousand, if not several millions of dollars worth of property and goods. A bowl of soup, $2 million. A bowl of soup, that must have smelled wonderful. It must have had a lot of meat in it. Must have been some great stew. First, sell me your birthright. Do you think he ever regretted that trade? How long after the soup was down do you think it took him for it to dawn on him? Maybe that was stupid. We have to be careful when we're hungry. We have to be careful when we really, 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 really want something. Reason doesn't seem to be in gear during those moments. So the first thing that amazes me is that Jacob even had the audacity to bring it up. He must have been some character. Your birthright? The second thing that amazes me is that Esau was the kind of guy that he so readily said, "Okay, yo, dude, I'm starving. I'm hungry here. What's it matter when we're old? What happens to us? Live for the moment, right?" Unbeknownst to Esau, when he sold his birthright, he gave up so much more than money. This is a key to today's message. When we treat as cheap or useless the things of God, as we think that disobedience is no big deal, we don't understand. We're losing a whole lot more than what it looks like on the surface. Even losing millions of dollars, let me ask you, if you lost a couple million dollars out of your portfolio, would it bother you? That's a pretty big chunk of all that you have, right? But that was just the surface of what Esau lost that day. He actually lost the honor of God over his life. He lost a position in the Lord because he treated something that was precious as though it was common. Something supernatural happened the moment he made a dumb decision. Something in the background, something under the surface. If this were a movie, then we'd hear the music change. The lighting would grow dark. This ominous tune would come from the background, and we would know something evil has just happened. But it's not a movie, and there wasn't any music in the background. Esau was hungry, the soup smelled good, and the price wouldn't be paid until later. You remember later? We talked about later last week. The Bible said, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but later it produces a harvest of peace and righteousness for those who have been trained by it. Discipline hurts right now, but later it pays off big time. Now we're bringing later back again for today's message, but it's in a different context. For those who are undisciplined and those who yield to the appetite of the moment, everything seems fine right now. Oh, I have a full belly. I'm satisfied. But later, oh, later isn't so good. This is kind of a deep concept, but sometimes being satisfied isn't a good thing. Sometimes being satisfied isn't a good thing. Because being satisfied right now is going to cost me something terrible tomorrow. Sometimes suffering right now is a wonderful thing. Ha! Because my tomorrow is going to be better. I got something to look forward to. It's going to get better forever. So, later can be a great thing. Or it can be a terrible thing. It's all about the seed you choose to plant today. Is the seed you're planting today, does it hurt a little bit? Hey, that may be great. Is what you're doing today maybe taking the edge off of what you're really hungry for? But what's it going to cost you tomorrow? If we could see into the supernatural world, we'd hear the demons cackling as soon as Esau said, "Deal. I'll take that. You can have my birthright, just give me the soup." A man decided to determine the course of his life according to his lusts rather than his lessons. If I only had 5 seconds to preach this morning, this is what I'd tell you. A man decided to determine the course of his life according to his lusts rather than his lessons. You've done the same thing, and so have I. And when we have done that, it has without fail become a disaster for us. But when you have decided you are going to live according to your lessons rather than your lusts, you've planted a different kind of a seed, and later on it produces a crop of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by the struggle you've been through. Amen? Live by your lessons, not by your lusts. An interesting thing we try to do in Pentecost, we try to do in evangelical churches, we try to blunt the cost of the planting. We try to make it seem as though if you're a believer, you're in Christ, you're doing things right, it's happy, happy, joy, joy, 24/7.